You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, January the 6th, and covering the NBA during a pandemic season. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we got brother Brian talking to us about tonight's game, the rematch in Milwaukee against the Bucks. And after that, the rest of the show, we got an interview with myself and James Edwards III of The Athletic, the great JE3, coming in and giving us plenty of time on Tuesday night. We also have a part two, shorter segment that's going to come out probably on Thursday's show, but we'll kind of see what these next couple days bring, but more with James Edwards III soon here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Also give Brother Brian a follow on Twitter at B-Shook12, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then the Play Michigan account, Play_Michigan as well. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Get us up on those rankings so more Pistons fans can become part of the Locked On Pistons podcast community. But tonight, the rematch, the Pistons are in Milwaukee. I'm sure they'll take care of business against the Bucks as they always do. So looking forward to seeing that. And then James is going to join us after that for the rest of the show. So here's Brother Brian talking about tonight's game.
This is your Pistons game preview. The Pistons will try to snap a three-game road losing streak to start the season in the second game in three nights in the Cream City. Detroit brings a 1-6 record into the game against coach Mike Budenholzer's 4-3 Bucks, who beat the Pistons for the 12th straight time on Monday, 125-115. Jeremy Grant will look to extend his streak of scoring 20 or more points to 7 games, as he has hit that mark in all but the opening game this season. The Pistons will try to slow down two-time defending league MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo, who hung 43 on the Pistons two nights ago. Chris Middleton also pumped in 19 on Monday on 7 of 10 shooting. The Pistons will need to cool down Milwaukee, who shot 58% from the floor, in large part due to their 62-42 advantage in the paint. Detroit will hopefully be able to pick up some more rebounds if they can cause some more misses by Milwaukee, so not to repeat the worst rebounding performance by the Pistons this year, when they were out-rebounded 56-38 by the Bucks last game. The Pistons are expected to have forward Blake Griffin back, who was out on Monday resting his knee, and they hope to have Josh Jackson back after he missed the game with an ankle injury. Detroit looks like they will be without rookie guard Killian Hayes, who left the game with a right hip injury on Monday in the third quarter and did not return. BetOnline.ag has the Pistons as 13.5-point dogs, which is down from the line on Monday, and the total number is up to 226.5 after these two teams combined for 240 points just two nights ago. If money lines are your thing, and they should be, Detroit is +800, while Milwaukee checks in at -1100. Tonight's game will tip off at 8 p.m. at the Pfizer Forum and will be on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket. This has been your Pistons game preview.
Thanks to Brother Brian for laying it on us here. The 8:30 report that was issued officially by the NBA has Killian Hayes listed as doubtful and Josh Jackson listed as questionable. Killian Hayes officially with a right hip strain. That, to me, sounds like that's not really the comprehensive update. I would expect early on, maybe the 1:30 update, to find out more about Killian Hayes. Sometimes the teams just have to submit an injury report, so I'm doubtful that the doubtful designation is completely accurate. It may be doubtful that he's probably not going to play, but by the time I'm taping this late on Tuesday night, I'm guessing the Pistons have probably a better idea, but just haven't said publicly on whether Killian Hayes will play or not. So we should know something, I would imagine. By the early afternoon, they'll have shoot around early on in the day, and I'm guessing folks will know more at that point. Pat Connaughton, also doubtful for the Milwaukee Bucks. Torrey Craig out in this one for Milwaukee. But let's take a short break here, and then coming up after that, James Edwards III of The Athletic, joining us as he sometimes does, one of our favorite guests and friend of the pod that we are going to chat with here. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But first,
it's Bang the Over Brother Brian, and I can't wait for you guys to join me at my favorite website for online sports gambling at betonline.ag. Are you ready for some football? The college football national championship game is coming up, and the NFL playoff picture is set and starting this weekend. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The Pistons are in Milwaukee tonight to take on the Bucks and are 13.5 point underdogs, while the game total is 226.5. The Pistons are 4-3 against the spread this year, and the over came in on Monday in a game between these two teams when they totaled 240 points. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes, sir!
2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and now we're being joined by James Edwards of The Athletic. James, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Man, you know, anything for you, man. I'm very sad that Brother Brian isn't joining us for this part. I was hoping to meet Brother Brian.
He's always in our hearts if he's not on the mic here today. But good to see you the other day. First time I'd seen you in the flesh in like 8 or 9 months. Let's not do that anymore. A lot of people dealing with that these days.
You haven't seen me, but I've seen you. I told you I was stalking you, and I was downtown Detroit, and I saw you going for a walk or a run. I want to say it was end of summer or something like that. And yeah, I texted you, said I'm watching you or I'm going to see you or something like that. But yeah, we haven't seen each other in a while, and it was good to catch up for a little bit and as much as we could.
Not a lot of people ever see me running, so I think that's a pretty rare thing that you were able to see there. But
you were walking when I saw you.
Okay, well, we'll go with it. But we're 7 games in. We're taping this interview right in between the 2-game Milwaukee stretch for the Detroit Pistons. But really today we're talking off the court kind of stuff. I think it's a little too early to make grand sweeping conclusions about what's going on with this team. We'll bug James in another month or so about the on-court stuff. But is it just me? I mean, we had such a long time without Pistons basketball. Then we had 7 games. Does it seem to me that it's been a lot? Like, it's been kind of fast and furious, and that it's a little – I'm just like a little burnt out even from just 7 games of basketball. Is that crazy?
Yeah, no, there is a weird dynamic. So, like, I'm burnt out, I'm tired, but, like, I'm not tired as I would be, like, traveling. Like, that's mm-hmm. super exhausting. But I was saying to you the other day, this season's kind of flown by in a weird way. Like, I felt like we just started back, like, a week ago, and we're already 7 games in. Mm-hmm. It has been, like, a blur because you're not going anywhere. Other than, like, home games, yeah, the media goes to the arena, but, like, away games, we're not going anywhere. So it's kind of just been like this blur. It's really hard to describe because it's almost like, at least for me and even you, like two guys that cover the Pistons, like, I mean, I'm used to like basketball being on and not traveling for the Pistons because, I mean, like the playoffs, like obviously Pistons aren't usually involved in that. So it's like it kind of feels like that, like you're watching basketball, but you're not really going anywhere until, I mean, there's obviously the 2 to 3 home games every week, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, whatever. But yeah, it has been a little different, man. It's just, I think a lot of it has to do with the weather now.
Yeah.
And actually having to go outside. So it's like, it's just dark all the time. It's just, yeah, it's a lot going on.
Yeah. And then of course you throw the draft and free agency and then the holidays into the mix. And it does kind of feel like we're a couple months in already, even though we aren't. But covering a rebuilding team, as we talked about before we push record here, and I notice it from the podcast numbers that we've got new listeners every day and the numbers are going up. And you mentioned it with the interest of this team. And I know that you don't root for teams. You're out there covering games. The podcast is a little bit different. We do kind of a fan angle / a little bit journalist angle as well.
Right.
But for you personally, covering this situation where it's obviously a lot different than it was your first 3 years on the beat, and that the direction is obviously clear.
We're talking draft picks. We're talking about a plan that's several years down the road. Is this more fun for you to watch those games and to analyze this team because it's different, or would you rather be watching games and seeing if they won or seeing if they can be above 500, that kind of thing?
No, that's a great question. From a watch perspective, I thoroughly enjoy watching this group more than the previous ones. Not to name names, but there's just a couple guys you get kind of tired of watching after a while. And it was a fresh breath of air to see some new faces and different styles of play. Now, in terms of coverage, I would say the same thing. I do enjoy this because there's only so many ways you can skin a cat. Is that how it goes? Is it dead cat?
Yep. Dead cat, skin a cat, whatever. Yeah. No, I think you had it right the first
time. Okay. Yeah, like there's only – when a team is trying to win and they're not winning, you have to focus on why they're not winning. When in your heart of hearts, you just know they're not a good team. Mm-hmm. But when they push the narrative that we're trying to be good and trying to be the playoffs, like you have to follow that storyline. Now, this team has – never come out and once said that they're going to make the playoffs. They have said they're going to be competitive, and they have said they're going to build around young guys. So now you're kind of just like watching individual storylines. Like, is there going to be a significant leap from Killian in the second half of the season when he has some more experience under his belt? Is Sekou going to continue to kind of play meaningful, impactful minutes when he's on the floor? Is Sadiq Bey legit? We can go down the line. For is Blake Griffin the XYZ, Derrick Rose XYZ, Svi XYZ. Like, you're not breaking down wins and losses in most cases, because that's not what this year, the next 2-3 years is really going to be about. It's about development, and seeing how many guys from this roster can be on the next iteration or be part of the next iteration of good Pistons basketball. And because of that, there's so many different things you can do. Like, I don't feel as inclined. Like, for example, like Detroit, the last 2 years, like, were synonymous for winning like 4 or 5 in a row, and then just going like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks was 2.5 weeks without a win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you want to do like stuff people want to read about, like features, but it's like it's hard to like squeeze them in when the team's just losing. So now it's like I can just do a feature whenever. If they lose, like everybody expected them to lose, they'd rather read something on player X or player Y. So I enjoy not being caught up in wins and losses, especially when previous years it's just kind of simple. Like, I know some people like to blame the coach. It's a big thing on Pistons Twitter, but they never really look at the roster and just like realize this is just a bad
or the opponent. The opponent.
Or the opponent. Right.
It's the most important thing when you have like a mediocre to less than mediocre team. Who you play determines whether you win or not. That's just kind of how it goes.
And I know you say this a lot on here about the rotations. It's like, guys, like, are you telling me Casey looks down that bench and gets excited about putting any of those guys in from the last few years? No. Like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I like that it's not wins and losses. I like that it's individual storylines. And every now and then you break in like team aspects and stuff like that. Maybe they're running different sets or guys doing different things. Like, there's just more to – you don't have to get bogged down in the sadness that already brings – that is already prevalent in Detroit sports. You can bring a little bit of hope in this type of situation.
James Edwards, the third of The Athletic, joining us here on Locked On Pistons. I was at the game Sunday, as you know, and that was my first game since March, really, since Rudy Gobert and the Jazz visited Little Caesars Arena. And obviously you didn't go down to the bubble because the Pistons weren't there. So you've only been and by the way, you're not traveling as well, which is something that listeners might not know. And obviously it makes sense when you think about it, that there's no locker room access. There's no extras that and really some of the arenas you're a little bit further from the court than you would normally be. So there's not that built-in advantage.
Yeah.
But for me on Sunday, my first time being, I know you've been in a handful of home games already, but is it weirder than you thought to be in that completely empty arena? I know they got a couple hundred friends and family, and then they've got the sections filled up by ads basically, and the red capes that they have covering up some of those sections. But is it just me, or was that weirder than you maybe even thought it might be?
Yeah. So like the first time for me, in the preseason, what's weird is the theatrics leading up to tip off. So it's like everything is a presentation as if fans are there. There's the lights, there's the intro, there's the mm-hmm. music, there's the cheerleaders dancing in the steps. There's Mason. Like it's mm-hmm. everything that is built for the fan experience that is still there. And it's just like a hollow noise. Like it's going to nobody. And that's the weirdest part to me. I think once the ball is tipped, like you're just kind of locked into the game and you don't really notice, at least for me, I didn't really notice I didn't like look around like, oh, there's no fans here. Like I was just kind of locked in on the game, but leading into it, the stuff, the theatrics, like that's a little, it was like in the Matrix kind of, it was just a little weird because they're obviously still trying to put an entertainment product out there, but like even the national anthem. So people might not know this actually. You probably just found this out mm-hmm. on Sunday. The national anthem, they probably showed on TV as if the person, like making it look like the person is there. But it, like that in the arena, the whoever's doing the national anthem that day is actually on the Jumbotron. They're not in the middle of the floor. Mm-hmm. So my guess is it's pre-recorded, whether they just did a bunch of them a few months ago or they do it the day of and just show it. But like I had somebody was texting me about they like the voice of one of the ladies who's doing the national anthem. And I was like, yeah, she's not even here. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, it's like on the Jumbotron and there's nobody at half court. And it's just the theatrics, man. Yeah. It was a little trippy. It was kind of like the Matrix.
Yeah. I'm picturing like a full day of like just anthem after anthem, after anthem, after anthem, and just getting folks in there. And obviously
like it social... had to be something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'd probably space it out, but even then it's like, I would imagine maybe do one a day or something. I don't know. It's still a lot.
Or maybe there's someone who's like, they cut him off halfway through the anthem and say, you're not good enough. We'll get to the next person. You didn't quite make it. Maybe Simon.
It's like American Idol.
Yeah.
Got to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious than the past, if you can believe that. They got 18 new amazing flavors now, including the nut and non-nut flavors. You got the 6 new ones. You got the caramel brownie, the cookies and cream, the cherry barcia, the lemon almond cheesecake, the carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp as well. Add that to the 12 OGs, including peanut butter and salted caramel. Mm-mm, good. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew, but best of all, they are healthy. They are great for the health-conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. You got the low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Great for the keto diet or whatever kind of low-carb fad you're into. But it's not a fad. It's going to work for you. This is your year, 2021. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So about the arena, and you mentioned it, and I'll go old man here, because when you go to a basketball game, and this was obviously the game I was at, was kind of a Sunday matinee. So everything just feels a little bit weird when you got a 3 o'clock game anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess that's a little bit part of it. You have Mason going, I think he's like 10 plus as far as what he's trying to get, because I think they're trying to make up for the fact that there's no crowd noise with the TV stuff. And I think they got the music up to 11.
It is so loud, man. I saw people on Twitter talking about that it was loud through the TV. I'm like, in person, it is ridiculously loud.
And which feels weird because you're looking around like, I mean, some of the music's fine. And, of course, you love some music. But, like, who is this for? Like, what are we doing?
My guess would be, like the to protect the players.
Okay.
I would imagine a lot of media members like ourselves anticipated one benefit of no fans would be able to hear all the shit talking
right
going on, and we literally can't hear a single thing.
Well, I would sign like a waiver that says I will not tweet anything that I hear on the court if I don't have to have 11 pumped into my ears entire game. But that's just me. I would definitely do that. But I did, and you mentioned, like, you know, the game's on. You don't really take too much time to look around and think about the atmosphere. But there were a couple times where I did look around, and I was like, man, this is strange. And we can make a joke here about how there's not a lot of fans at Little Caesars Arena anyway when the Pistons are playing. But right. And we've seen those jokes millions of times here during the early season. But yeah. It does feel weird. I wonder, is there any theories? Do you have a working theory about what this does to impact the play? Because we've seen these big blowouts so far throughout the league. As we know, the Pistons have been in every game and close and competitive but we've seen the, you know, the Clippers game that was 50 points with the Mavs at halftime the other day stands out. But do you have some theories as to what on court this might mean? Because we know the bubble was so competitive and everyone had the probably correct theory that you're not traveling, you're just locked into basketball. This is right. Different. You got no fans, you're still traveling, it's a long season. What do you think that this means for the NBA season?
Oh, that's a good question. Dwayne was actually asked this the other day by Tim Bonteps from ESPN, and he mentioned that he thinks that the lack of crowd does play into some of the blowouts. He predominantly mentioned the shortened preseason and some players who haven't played in a long time, some players who've played in recent – played in the bubble, like that plays a part into it. It's always hard for me to gauge just as somebody like who grew up playing sports, like, yeah, like you fuel off the crowd, but like you're in such a tunnel vision out there that like, do you notice it? And obviously you see guys feed off of it, but it's like, I don't know, maybe the music and the turned up to 11 volume, like adds just some of that intensity. Yeah. I don't have a theory. I'm not going to lie. I just don't, it's just hard to say unless you're a player. And maybe I should, I'll ask a player here soon, like who didn't play in the bubble, like if it feels weird, because I am curious, because I could see both sides. I could see them being so locked in on the floor. Maybe they notice it when they're on the bench or whatever, and like they're just looking around and don't see anything. Like you could definitely see that. But on the floor, I'm curious how big of an impact that actually is.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there are guys that like really miss the fans and miss that energy, or if there are guys who are benefiting from not having the fans there. If it's not to say that they're wilting under the pressure of some fans being there, but it's a different atmosphere. I mean, it's a little bit more like practice or pickup or something like that. And I wonder if there are guys that, and you know, maybe they won't admit to it for whatever reason, but yeah. I wonder if that's a possibility.
I think for guys like Killian Hayes, it's a positive, just knowing Detroit fans. You know what I mean? Like I've heard, you hear some harsh stuff toward guys like Andre and Reggie. Like,
yeah.
I think it might be good for Killian that kind of navigates his intro to the NBA without fans, just knowing this fan base and how impatient and rude they can be.
Yeah, it's maybe a good season for this team to struggle through in that regard. But, James, and I know the listeners probably have a wide variety of knowledge about the beat writers and what they go through and what a day-to-day kind of life is. And we won't get into all of that because maybe your life's maybe not as interesting as some people might think. But we have a practice, let's say, at the new facility or back at the Palace before they added the practice facility. A lot of that time, you know, kind of waiting for guys to come over, waiting for Dwayne to come over after the practice, you get a chance to talk with the players a little bit and start to form that relationship. And while you're waiting for post-game interviews in the locker room, there's some of that. And I'm sure on the road, you run into guys at arenas or in hotels. And obviously that kind of interaction is not happening this year between you and players or you and coaching staff and maybe some of the members of the front office as well. But are there some specific things that you're missing? I mean, can you think of like a story that you wrote these last couple of years or a guy that you got to know maybe a little bit these last couple of years that kind of thing isn't possible to be happening right now? And how much has this really changed your job in that regard?
Oh, man, certainly. I don't know how much people know, but like, first of all, to go with what you said, like waiting is like 80% of the game. Like we're either waiting for somebody to come out and speak under normal circumstances. We're waiting for a guy to finish shooting around. We're waiting for a guy to finish practice, waiting for a guy to shower. Now it's like, we're waiting for somebody to sit down on the empty chair in the Zoom.
Right.
It's like, it's just no matter what, like that's 80% of the game. In terms of the work though, man. Yeah. Like I was in the camp of let's not bring basketball back until life is normal for selfish reasons, just because of how I do my job. And for others, it's tough. Like for example, like Rod and Omari, we do similar things, but we do different things. They're more connected just cause they both work for newspapers. But like even then, like Omari has been covering the team since March and hasn't met a single person. So that's tough for him. And Rod, like, I mean, he's been around a while. Like, he does features too. Like, you got to do that stuff. You build relationships. But, like, I rarely, prior to this year, I would rarely write off games unless it was, like, something that just needed to be addressed. Like, I would primarily focus on features or something that I saw that was just a little more left field, just because, again, we subscription model. It's just hard for me to kind of do something that you can get from somewhere else for free. Like I have to find a way to differentiate myself, in that regard. So like, to get those type of stories, you have to have either access and or good relationships with players. So like, for example, like you have stories that come to mind. Like pretty much any player from the last year, like I had a decent to good relationship with, because you just are around them so much. So like when I did a story on like trash talking, like shooting in front of the corner three, like trash talking the opposing bench. Like I got Blake for 15 minutes after a game in Cleveland, just cause like, he's in no rush to go anywhere on the road. And like there's three reporters in there and like he has time. When I found out Luke Kennard was actually like right-handed, like it was me watching him like sit down and like eat food. And I was in the locker room and I'm like, oh, maybe he's right-handed. And then we talk about it for everybody's over there talking to Blake, cause he had a big game. And like, I can step over here and talk to Luke because to me, this is more interesting or whatever. Mm-hmm. You build relate. Like, I don't know if people know this, but like on the road is literally the bread and butter for a beat writer. So say we're in Utah. Say there's a 6-game road trip on the west, out west. I don't know. Let's throw out Utah, Portland, two LAs, Oakland, Phoenix, whatever, if that equals six. So say maybe they play Utah Wednesday, but they got out there Monday and they're going to practice in Utah Tuesday. So after practice, Detroit is one of the better PR teams in the league. So it's not like some teams in the league, they'll like tell you who you can talk to after practice. Detroit, it's pretty much a free for all. And so like after practice, like if a guy's just like sitting down on his phone, like you can just go up and just talk with him or like that, say, hey, do you got a few minutes for questions? Or even if you don't want to, like sometimes I would just, in order to build relationships, people have different approaches. For me, if I didn't have to write something the next day, I would just go sit with a guy with my phone in my pocket and we would just like, me and Langston would go talk about shoes or me and Reggie would talk about, he likes to fish. So we would talk about fishing or I'd ask him if he ever been up north. Like there's different ways to build relationships, but like on the road, these guys have nowhere to go, especially like in a place like Utah. So like they're shooting extra shots. They're in no rush after, like you just go up and you talk to these guys. And then on the road after the games, like, again, unless they're going to the next city right after the game, like they're in no rush and you can just shoot the shit and get to know these guys and they have more time to answer more in-depth questions. And this year, this is a long way of saying this year, that's just non-existent. It's harder to differentiate yourself on a daily basis because all the access is the same. You don't even have to be at the game to have access to the Zoom. If you're somehow a Pistons media member, you don't have to go, and you can still get the same post game access that those who go and those who are around the team pretty much every day under normal circumstances get. So you have to be more creative, calling around to people. Like I did a story on Sfi 2 weeks ago and I talked to his trainer. I was able to get JD Dubois, the personal development coach for the Pistons. You just have to go about it a different way. I'll probably do more game stuff this year, more observations, more columns, just because that's just what it's going to have to be for a little bit. And it sucks because there's a certain way I like to do the job. But I mean, there's literally nothing I can do about it. So unfortunately, probably the feature stories are going to be few and far between in the foreseeable future, but, yeah, still figuring out how to differentiate myself until that is going to be the biggest challenge. I think I've done a fine job so far because, again, like, do observations, you do columns, like, that's what's on your brain and your mind and doesn't always echo other people's brains and minds. To go back to, like, Rod and Omari, like, the newspapers usually do game stories, so they're, like, they have stuff to write that's, like, kind of right in front of them at times, so... Yeah, it's been a challenge, but everybody else is going through it. So it'll be hopefully maybe toward the end of this year back to normal, and we can try to build some relationships with these guys, aside from a few phone conversations here and there and some Zooms.
Yeah, and I kind of piggyback on that. The last couple of years before this season, I was basically the backup beat writer for the Lions for the Detroit News, helping out Justin Rogers. And it's like you got the 53-man locker room. They basically let the media in for 45 minutes into the locker room. This is every practice day, every training camp day. And then even the Monday, you know, they get back in from traveling, and you get after they watch the film of the Sunday game, you get them for 45 minutes in the locker room. You just grab whoever you want. That's the deal that the Football Writers Association worked out with the NFL. And with that, you have kind of a long grind. You know you're going to be there several days a week for a long season. You got a 53-man roster, so the top 45 guys you're probably going to write something about at some point during the season. So you can spend a lot of that training camp. Really, there's a lot of hurrying up and waiting in the media room, going through the media guide, being like, looking for little nuggets that you can not only think about for writing for stories, but conversation starters with guys where you can start developing that relationship. Oh, you went to high school in, like, Mike Ford is a guy on the Lions that, you know, went to Southeast Missouri State, and I lived down in Southwest Missouri for a while. So we knew a lot of the same people, and suddenly I talked to him 3-4 times, and then I'm doing a story about him a few weeks later because you developed that, and not everyone's following those guys around like Matthew Stafford and wanting to get any kind of piece of interview they can with them. So those are kind of the little things that you got to do on a day-to-day basis and normal circumstances that you're not able to do now too, right?
Yeah, no, totally, man. Like, I'll never forget my first scoop as a reporter. It was so funny. It was at, like, so 2017-18 year, Tobias Harris, if you recall, like, just started out blistering from three, like 53% through like 6-7 games. Mm-hmm. And he was usually done with, like, the shower first. So, like, by the time we got on there, most cases, like, Tobias, like, putting his socks on and, like, sitting in his chair and waiting. So, like, he was the first one that all the media flocked to that game. And so everybody's waiting, asking Tobias questions. And as soon as Reggie Jackson walks to a seat, everybody leaves Tobias to go talk to to Mr. Reggie Jackson. Just because, I mean, it's Reggie, and it was the Reggie and Andre show that time. Mm-hmm. And I stayed back to talk to Tobias, and I kind of watched Tobias, like, see everybody flock away, like, as soon as Reggie came out. And he was like, you could kind of see, like, what? Like, that's just not annoyed, but, like,
sure. Yeah.
It was it was funny.
He felt slighted.
He felt slighted. So it's like, I sat there and kept asking him questions. Like, I continued to ask him about his 3-point shooting, like, no different than what a couple other people asked. And then he just gave me a nugget. He's like, yeah, I just worked on it a lot. He's like, oh, and I also got LASIK eye surgery.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's like, oh, like, okay. So, like, then we start talking about that. But it's like, in my position, I don't necessarily have to flock to who had the biggest game that night. If I can find an interesting story from player X who only had 11 points and maybe the fan base is interested in his future or X, Y, and Z, like, I can sit over here by myself with this guy and get that story. And that's, like, always one of the funniest ones to me, just because it was just clear in his eyes, like, oh, you guys are all going to Reggie, or are you about to miss out on this little nugget? And I always respect Tobias for throwing me that oop as a 24-year-old scared out of his mind reporter.
Yeah, and you've mentioned it a couple times, but I don't know if the fans quite understand, maybe the casuals don't quite understand how different your job is, like you said, compared to Rod and Amari on the newspaper jobs. That those guys are so busy, you know, the half hour before the game ends because they got to get the gamer out at the buzzer, and then the hour after the game ends, they're grinding out that gamer, whereas you're able to kind of use that time a little bit more wisely in some ways because of the structure of your job.
Right.
And but on the flip side of that, it becomes more difficult for you because you have 3 seasons in now where you've got to find interesting stories to write over and over again about this team that's not that interesting. Whereas Rod watches 48 minutes of basketball and he's got himself 15 inches because something happened during this basketball game.
Yeah, he pleased his bosses, right.
Right. So it's a lot different, but you've done a great job, obviously, at it. And I've told you this before in the past, and we'll say it again, that you've done an outstanding job in your first few years on the beat as a young guy going into it. And I can say that as an older guy myself, that you've stepped in.
Older,
yeah. You don't have to lie. So along those lines, and we know we criticize these players day in, or I criticize these players. A lot of us criticize these players about the things that they need to work on in the off season so that they can get better, the things that they need to be working on at practice or in the some minutes that they get What about James Edwards? What are the things that, and obviously the pandemic forces you to do things a lot differently, like you've said, maybe a little bit more of the analyzing the actual game because that's in front of you and that's going to be there.
Yeah.
But were there some things maybe outside of the pandemic that you said, here's what I'm kind of working on here in year four. If I want to take my career to kind of the next level in terms of being the best, you know, Pistons beat writer that you could possibly be or whatever's beyond for you. Do you ever, do you take that time or do you have like an editor who sits down with you? Like, you know, most folks have that yearly, you know, the progress review and they get whatever, that kind of thing. Do you have something like that going into this season that you were like, here's what I'm kind of going to be working on here in year four?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just a super, first and foremost, super competitive person. So like, yeah, I always am just trying to think of ways to differentiate myself and, just kind of stand out and do, and not in like a I'm better than you type way,
but I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, it's part of my job to do that. And two, like
we have to be that way in this.
And it's the worst part about
this. Yeah. There's no way to do this without some of that. So don't feel bad about it.
Like I love Rod. Happy birthday to Rod.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday, Rod. Wednesday. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy early birthday for next year.
Yes, happy early birthday for next year. I do not ever want him to get any scoop ever.
Mm-hmm.
If that means that he gets fired, because, no, I'm just joking. I don't. Yeah, no.
Hopefully, like, Rod gets fired. It yes.
It's just the connection between the sports and those who cover it is a lot closer than people think, and it's unfortunate, but it's just the nature of the business. But yeah. I mean, just for me, just like to continue to do, I don't know. I think I have like my niche and like, I think I'm good. Like I'm good at breaking down the game and film stuff. Like I think, yeah, like I have no problem doing that. I just think for a lot of Pistons fans, I always look at my job like this. My goal, I'm the middleman between the fan and the player. Mm-hmm. And I always try to take every story as much as I can. I want somebody to read my story and learn something new about someone or the team that they didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel like that's my job. So I feel like I want to continue to do that. Obviously continue to break news and just kind of write the stories that I like to write. Like I think I'm comfortable with like my niche and what people like to read from me. And I just want to continue to do the best versions of those things that I can. Obviously there's like certain stories that I want to get, and I've been lucky to get some of them. And yeah, just given the circumstances, just how many cool stories can I do? I guess with everybody having their back against the wall.
Yeah. And it's been interesting to watch this off season and to watch the season start. And like you said, like we've said before, there are more fans kind of reading more stuff and more fans listening to more stuff. So we'll see how this all kind of evolves. And then I think that the interest, it's going to wane a little bit, I believe, you know, just given the nature of the long season and this shiny new toy is going to be a little bit less shiny and new as time goes on. That said, I don't expect as much of a lull as maybe we had in the middle of some of these seasons where, you know, the playoffs are still possible, but sometimes unlikely, and who cares even if they do get there. So I'm kind of hopeful, because then you got the trade deadline, and then you're probably looking at the last third of the season where the young guys are just going to be, you know, the shackles are completely off and all the young guys are out there at the end of the year. So
yep.
I'm looking forward to certainly a different season for the Pistons, and it's been a lot of fun for me. I personally, 7 games in, and going back with people, I was tough on Troy Weaver, and some people are loving what he did this off season, and it's just been kind of fun to kind of get those juices flowing. It feels like you're not just going through the motions anymore, and like, well, I got to put a podcast out, and Reggie Jackson had this many points, and whatever else, and you know they're in the 10th spot right now, and they need to get hot. But no, it's something different, and it's something exciting.
No, certainly, man. Like I'm with you. Like I think there's not going to be as many dead periods as years past. Like you would get to, I mean, about now is usually when the Pistons would go out west and would just get train wrecked and people would stop paying attention. And then toward the end of the year, they'd make a push and it would come back. Now I think it's like, people are going to be invested in how Killian and Sadiq and Isaiah look for the next month or two. Then they might drop off for a little bit in terms of like engagement. But then, I mean, if the Pistons plan is right, like these guys are going to look a lot better at the end of the year and people will come back and want to see what they're looking like. So again, it all comes back to, especially with this fan base, as you know, Matt, hope. So anytime one of these young guys does something that makes this group of fans feel good about the future, word spreads quickly and they'll be right back.
The great James Edwards III of The Athletic. Get a subscription to The Athletic. Give it as a gift to birthdays that are coming up, Mother's Day, Father's Day, everyone that is into sports. Detroit sports, hopefully coming back years and years down the line, but the Pistons, I think, are finally heading into a right direction. So not if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you're already or hopefully already subscribed to The Athletic, but start spreading the word about how this team might be a little bit more fun to watch, and then listen to this podcast, get the Athletic subscription, send it as gifts, just get that river flowing in the right direction for everyone. Follow James on Twitter at JL Edwards and Roman numeral 3 after that. James, thanks, my man, for taking the time, and we'll see you soon down the road.
Yeah, man, anytime. Always good to see you, always good to talk with you, and hopefully see you here soon.
My guy James, a good friend of mine. I really appreciate him taking the time to indulge us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And like I said, we've got one more segment with him that we'll play sometime in the next couple of days, probably on Thursday's show, with an interesting article that he's putting out soon that you should check out. So keep an eye out for that on theathletic.com, James Edwards. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.